All right, another episode of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Kurt Lucas. On this episode, we have James Burry. He is the owner of Risk Racing. You've probably seen their products everywhere. They make the hole shot gate that a lot of pro riders are using today, and they have a bunch of other really cool products. So he comes on to talk about that. He may or may not be my new boss. I just moved up to North Carolina, so it's a kind of a big move. So we talk a little bit about that as well. After that, Michael Kaminsky from Kaminsky's Corner. Yeah, we have another edition. I actually had him watch some Endurocross racing, so he breaks that down for us and answers some listeners' questions. Talked to him for about an hour, so really funny stuff and definitely worth the listen. As always, go on over to bloodlubricants.com and check out all their sweet products they have going on. They're a big supporter of this show, and they want to help you out, so make sure you type in promo code whiskey when checking out at their website to get 25% off. Also, I want to give a shout out to Risk Racing. Risk Racing is a motocross company dedicated to designing innovative products. They're passionate about the sport and want to interact with others that have the same passion. Researched, designed, and tested by professionals, their products provide users with functional, innovative solutions. They're engineered for reliability and performance in demanding environments and used by the best teams in the world. Check them out, riskracing.com. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, check out our podcast. You can download this on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Check out our Patreon account. All right, showtime. Right now, head honcho and my boss over at Risk Racing, James Burry. What's going on, man? Long time, no talk.
Oh, yeah. It's been, what, a couple hours? I missed you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I moved to North Carolina because I thought the weather was going to be nice. You know, I could have stayed in Florida if I just wanted to drive in rain all day.
Welcome to the rain. I'm sure you love that commute home.
I tried to get fancy and go the other way around the lake through, like, Denver. It didn't really work out for me.
Yeah. Well, you're going to love it though. I promise.
I hope so. Well, hey, let's jump right into this. So you're the owner of Risk Racing, but you know, for the listeners who might not know what Risk is, why don't you tell us all about it?
It's a pretty broad question, but just to give you at least a starter answer, Risk Racing is it's a motocross dirt bike power sports company, something that I started out of my house, out of my garage. So it really did truly start grassroots. And the reason I started it is because I grew up a rider, racer, and just had a real passion for it. My bad product design, so naturally I just started putting my passion for product design into a business, which completely naive. I knew how to design a product, but kind of learned the rest of the business stuff as I jumped into the fire. But the very first product, I guess, how it got started was the ride on motocross lift. And it came about because my wife was racing and she couldn't lift her bike. So started cutting and welding and kind of come up with something in the shop. And next thing you know, we're, you know, doing our own production right there in the garage and heading off to the first trade show. And that's what kind of sparked the fire.
So it was just kind of, you started making this thing just for you. And then did you start taking it to the track and people were starting to ask you about it? And were you just like, hey, I could sell this thing?
That's right. You know, because I was a product designer and designed for other people, I kind of knew that process. And I'd create some Frankenstein models and test the concept and then, of course, take it out to get feedback from regular end users and kind of say, hey, yeah, this, what do you think? And of course, just going to the track and riding and racing myself and using it and just getting kind of real feedback from strangers checking things out. And gave me enough confidence to go ahead and invest what I had, which was almost nothing, into kind of creating something. And that was kind of part of the reason behind the name as well. Risk Racing, of course, riding dirt bikes, it's risky. But it was a big risk for me just to kind of jump into this and get things started. So.
Yeah, that was actually a question. You just answered it for me, but I was actually really curious on how you did come up with that name. I just think it's cool how, you know, different companies do come up with their names, and Risk Racing is definitely a really cool one. And, you know, everything is sweetened by risk, and it's true. Like you talk about motocross riding, it's a risk. And unfortunately for me, I get hurt in other ways, as you know, making some breakfast, slicing my finger open. But yeah, I mean, I think if you've ridden a dirt bike, you've gotten hurt at least somewhat, and you know the risk you take.
That's right. And that's another thing. Again, this is a company that's founded by a motocrosser and have lived it. And just like you said, of course, it's not if you get hurt, it's when. And I've got metal in every corner of my body and have bled for this company. And I still love it. And that's, I think, often the same case for every guy and girl out there who are riding. You know, they can go out there and there's such a rush and adrenaline or whatever that feeling is when you ride that despite hurting yourself, who knows how bad, people often just get right back up, heel up, swing their leg back over the bike. And that's kind of one of the harsh parts of the sport, but also the really cool thing about this sport and how people bounce back.
I think we're just hard-headed more than anything, you know.
That's probably it. One concussion too many, and we just kind of keep doing it. I don't know.
Well, I think I speak for a lot of motocross riders when we do get hurt and we're sitting in that doctor's office with our cast on or that sling around our, you know, around our shoulder because our collarbone's sticking out of the skin. I think our first question usually is, so how long till I can get back on the bike? You know, wouldn't you agree?
That's right. That's right. And I think you're right. We've all asked that, and we've probably all gotten on the bike too early.
100%.
Something else I've found is when I am hurt, it gives me a chance to actually maybe let other parts of my body heal and think about the sport a little bit more. You know, you still might go attend the races and watch mm-hmm. your buddies and everything, and then you actually just sit back and you have a time to where you're forced to maybe watch the race and pay attention to what's going on and think about your own riding style and where you can make improvements. And I think every time I came back from an injury, I came back a little bit better because of it, because I was able to kind of rest my mind and think about what I needed to do to improve.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that. Like, usually if I get hurt, you know, I'm off 6 to 8 weeks, nothing too major or anything, but I come back a little bit faster. Maybe it's just a time off from riding and you kind of miss it, so you're eager to get back out there and you go a little bit faster. So now it's just strategy for me. You know, like, I get hurt and I'm stoked because, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, get my lap times down a couple seconds.
It's a weird motivation to get your lap time down, but I think it's probably true, yeah.
So you mentioned the ride-on lift. I have two questions for you. Besides the lift or the ride-on stand, what product is the most popular with your company, and which product are you the most proud of?
Let's see. The most popular right now, in fact, we just launched a brand-new version of it, is the Lock and Load, and the Lock and Load has become very popular. And basically, that's a way to transport your bike in your truck, trailer, van, whatever, without tie-down straps. So it's grabbing your bike by your foot pegs. And we've had one out for years. And then just, as you know, weeks ago, launched a brand new version that's all aluminum extrusions and fully adjustable. And we're going to be able to haul a lot more bikes. But that's been very popular for us. Does that answer your first question?
It does. Definitely does.
Okay. And maybe I'm going to give you a two-part answer on that.
All right, that's fine.
And then, but by volume, we actually, the Seal Doctor is amazing. The Seal Doctor just goes like crazy, and obviously it's saving people's forks. It's inexpensive. Everybody knows what a bummer it is to get a leaky fork seal, especially on race day, and how bad they can get leaking, especially if it gets on your front tire on that brake, and it's going down in there. So the Seal Doctor, let's say, 85% of the time, there's just something caught up in that fork seal. Mm-hmm. And this thing's designed to clean it out and not just jam everything back up in your fork, but it actually has a hook where it draws everything out of your fork, cleans it up, slap everything, you know, your dust seal back on, and you're back to riding. So that one's also very popular. So there's your two-part answer on that. The product that I'm most proud of, I think I go back to the ride-on lift, and that's for a couple reasons. I'm proud of it, one, because it did get things started, and I did it on a very tiny budget. And what's neat about it is the very first ones, and it's fun to meet customers out there that have the very first version of this. And it was designed the way it was designed because it's what I could afford to do. And but it still functioned. It was kind of like form follows function. I didn't have much any money for tooling. I could just afford to do what I could do. So it was built like a tank. It was heavy, but it worked. And the people that have them, that bought them, still have them today and still brag about them. And then when I got the company going, I was able to afford some tooling and be able to do some nice, cool bent steel and some formed rubber parts and all kinds of other cool things and slightly improve it. So I'm proud of that one because it did get things started. It's got a fun story behind it. It's gone through a really cool evolution, and it's still probably one of my favorite products to go use at the track because I hate lifting my bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing is badass. You know, like before, like I started working there, like just looking at stuff, I was like, yeah, that's cool and all. Like, I kind of didn't really understand how it worked. And then, you know, when I put my bike in the shop the other day and just rode on it, I was like, holy shit, like this is awesome. Because I mean, obviously you make fun of me all the time. I'm a trail rider, so I have a kickstand. But when I'm not using my kickstand for whatever reason, and I have to, like, it's the end of my race, I have to put my bike on the stand, I usually fall over or something's going on. So that's really helpful for the ride on, you know?
Yeah, and when you're dead tired and you're pulling off the track, you got 20 pounds of mud on your bike, you're totally pumped up. But the last thing you want to do is just go and lift that mm-hmm. bike, you know, and I can't tell you how many times people have come over to the track and seen me just be able to ride right off, pop off, and then, of course, just collapse because I got nothing left. But, I mean, that's the way it should be. You shouldn't have to, you know, come off the track. And a lot of people say, hey, if you can't lift your bike, you know, you shouldn't be riding motocross. But they're also the same dudes. I've seen people need help to lift their bikes onto their stands, or they come back and they're tired, so they just lean it against the truck or trailer until they can put it on their stand. It's just been one of those things about just educating the customer on what it is and how it works. And then when people see it, just like you did for the first time, they're like, oh, I get it. And the lift is still one of my favorite products. So happy, proud of that one.
Yeah. And it's not so much that you can't lift your bike on your stand. It's just, you don't want to, you know, why lift your bike when you could just ride it right on?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It does everything it needs to do. And what's neat about it too, is people look at it and they think it might be big, but really when it folds down for transport,
it's not
volume wise, it's not. It's taken up as much or even less than a traditional stand. And for storage, whether it's in your truck, it takes up less space. You can use space that you never used before. Like you got a couple bikes in your truck and that space over your wheel well, always just put it there or slide it under the bike, or I'll hang them up in the toy hauler or the trailer and they just hang on the wall flush. And so they're just out of the way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely real cool product, and definitely a bunch of cool products over at, you know, riskracing.com. But a little more about you, James. What's your background with motocross? When did you first start riding? I know you're a fast guy. I've seen that Bud's Creek trophy in the office, but when did you first start getting down and dirty on a dirt bike?
I guess my first bike was an old, I don't even remember the year, but 1970-something Yamaha 60 Enduro, and it was just a piece of junk. Family didn't have much growing up, but my dad was able to scrape up a little something so I could have a little crappy dirt bike. And and he used to race too, and in fact I still have his old race bike, which is kind of cool. But so I started young, never really racing seriously, just out in Colorado riding trails, riding a track here and there, and not competitive or anything else like that. And when I finally started getting a little faster and got an 80, not an 85, it was an 80 back then.
I had a YZ80. I'm not that young. All right, I'm pretty old too.
All right, good. But I ended up wrecking, and my thumb went through the sprocket and tore the thumb off. And so, I mean, I literally had to pick my thumb off to carry it to the hospital. And luckily, I mean, it was at the base of the thumb, so luckily they were able to pin it together and save it. But at that point in time, my dad had to sell the motorcycle just to pay for everything. So it was a long time between that point and to where I really got a decent bike. I was just whatever I could put together and make run, which was pretty good because I learned how to work on bikes and motorcycles. And it really wasn't even kind of a late bloomer to serious racing. I didn't really get racing until I was out of college and I could pay for it myself. So I didn't get serious about motocross till later. But even at that point, I made my way up into A class and had some, you know, just regional championships and whatnot along the way, either an A or B or plus 25 or whatever else. And now I just, you know, kind of race the old man class, just vet stuff and have fun and try to stay in one piece. But I think the main thing is I just wish I rode more. It gets busy.
Yeah, but once we get that sweet hair scramble trail set up at the shop, you'll be, you know, I'm going to convert you to a full-on hair scramble rider.
Good luck.
So yeah, that's Risk Racing, obviously riskracing.com. And then on Instagram, it's at Risk Racing Moto. They got some great stuff on Instagram. I don't know what you've been doing lately, but the past like week or so, the Instagram's just been popping off. I don't know if you hired someone new or what, but it's good.
Did it really start picking up?
Oh yeah. But there's also Risk Racing as a sister company. It's got some motor related stuff, a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of products that moto guys could use. It's called Striker. Want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Striker, it's the same thing, same mentality. Everything we do is our own design. So I may have kind of skipped over that with Risk, but we do focus on trying to come up with unique, innovative, patentable type items. And that's how we're competitive in the market, and also just solving problems. So Striker's no different, but it's not necessarily focused just on power sports. It's a broader market, and we're focused on flashlights, work lights, garage lights, some garage products. So the good thing is there is actually a lot of crossover, because all these guys that are riding dirt bikes and street bikes, they're all working in their garage, and the lights are wonderful for working on motorcycles, cars, whatever, you know, different projects. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have some fun with that, and just really enjoy the design part for both aspects.
And if someone wanted to check that out, it's www.striker.com or Striker Concepts.
Striker. How long have you worked here, man? Strikerconcepts.com.
I just wanted to be accurate. I don't want to give out false information. And then, you know, next
Good
thing you
job.
Know, I'm looking for a job tomorrow morning. I come to the shop and I'm replaced.
No way, not with that list that we've had on, you know, Instagram, right?
Exactly. You know, you can't beat it. Well, hey, James, thank you so much for your time again. If you want to check out some sweet, sweet moto products that'll get you to the track easier and just make your life a whole lot easier, head on over to riskracing.com. You're on Facebook. You're on Instagram. And, yeah, thank you so much for your time, James.
That's been fun, and we'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, bright and early. I'll try to be there on time this time.
Let's make that happen. All right, no cutting fingers off with your bagels.
I'll try my best not to. Thank you a lot, buddy, and I'll see you tomorrow. I want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high quality synthetic lubricants since 1983, and is constantly pushing the bar for high quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers, and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. All right. It's been a little while, but he's back for everyone's, I'm doing that in air quotes, everyone's favorite segment, Kaminsky's Corner. What's up, George? How's it going?
Not much, Kurt. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How is living in Florida without me? I got to ask that question.
Well, I've been living in Shattuck without you for like 8 months.
No.
And you being on the other.
It's like 4 months,
yeah.
Maybe. Three.
You know, time flies by when you're having fun without someone. So you not being here really hasn't done much for me in the past, 10 days since you've moved to North Carolina, as it has done with me as you've been gone for the past several months. How is North Carolina and your new move in that hurricane-ridden state?
Well, I shouldn't be laughing because luckily for me, the area I'm in, Charlotte area, there wasn't really much going on with the rain and all that, but they've been showing some pictures of like Wilmington and stuff. It's pretty brutal, but yeah, North Carolina's good. Love my job.
Is Charlotte in the mountains?
No, it's like in between the coast and the mountains. So rolling hills more than anything.
Okay, that's where the water didn't pile up. That makes sense.
Yeah, but you already got to see the hospital. Sliced my finger open. I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah, I saw you post that. That's pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but everything has a silver lining. So for those that don't know, my apartment does like continental breakfast, so it's pretty fancy. But I'm walking down, you know, have my coffee, like half asleep, and there's bagels, but you gotta cut them yourself, gotta slice them, and there was like a fucking carving knife for the bagel cutter. So I'm cutting it and it's in my hand, and the lady next to me goes, "Oh, you should really use a cutting board." And dude, the second she said use the cutting board, just sliced, and like, I was like, oh, what? Like, it didn't hurt. It just was like, fuck, like that just happened. And it started bleeding. And like, I used like 2 paper towel rolls by the time I decided maybe I should go get stitches. But the silver lining, Kaminsky, is something you probably relate to, because it always leads back to a hot chick. The girl whose knife it was works in the office at the apartment. And I didn't know this at the time, but when I walked in later that day to get like my garage set up, I was talking to her. She comes out looking all like a, you know, little Southern girl, looking good, talking all fancy to me. And then she sees my cut finger, and she's like, "Oh, so you're the one who cut yourself open with my knife, huh?" And I was like, "Yep." And then next thing you know, I'm showing her pictures of my cut, and she's like rubbing my back for like, you know, making me feel a little bit better. And she sees a picture of Mako, and I'm in. I'm in now. So it's all good.
Does she listen to the podcast? You know, you're a professional podcaster with well over 500 listeners.
If she does, sup, Morgan? What's up? What's up? What's up? And yeah,
that's good.
So it's good. And the best part was the next morning I went to go get a bagel, and they were all pre-sliced, and there was no knife to be found. So I guess, you know, I probably saved someone's life.
It's a huge fucking liability.
Well, I probably saved somebody's life.
Yeah, where they're like, "All right, we can't let dumbasses handle knives in the kitchen anymore because they're going to cut themselves."
I guess. Well, anyway, so I had Kaminsky watch Enduro. Well, I thought I had him watch Endurocross Round 2, but turns out it was from 2017, last year. So I had to improvise within the last, half an hour, Kaminsky. We just watched it. I just watched it, too. Round 1 from this year. But before we get into that, I want to play a little game. I'm going to give you 3 moto terms, and you have to tell me what you think they mean, all right?
Oh, God, okay.
Okay, the first one is hole shot.
Is that hold shot or hole shot?
H-O-L-E-S-H-O-T. I'll use it in a sentence. Whoa, bro. Do you see TJ? He just got that wicked big hole shot.
Is that when you take the lead?
I'll give you a guess. Bogle.
When you pass 2 people.
No, it's when you get to the first corner first at the start.
Oh. Okay. I thought you meant the bogle on bogle, so that would have made sense.
No, that would have made sense. I'm sorry for misleading you there. So that's 1 incorrect. Let's see if you can get at least 1. The next one is track snack.
Track snack?
Yep.
Is that when there's like a hot girl on the track and you're like, "Damn, look at that snack"?
Ooh, you know, I'm gonna give you half a point on that one. So, are you familiar with the term puck slut?
Is that a hot hockey chick?
No. I don't think those exist. It's a puck slut is a girl who only fucks hockey players, which is the only reason Steve Havanoff got laid in high school. And so a track snack is a girl who hangs around the track and only fucks like pro moto dudes. Or just moto dudes in general.
Interesting. Okay, I know that now. Now, just to be clear to the people, the big supporters of me, we are not sexist in any way on this podcast. These are simple definitions that we're explaining so people know what they mean.
Yeah, I didn't make the term up. I'm just relaying information. So
terrific. Carry on with the third one.
Okay, roost or roosted. So I'll put in a sense, "Oh, dude, I was behind that guy all moto. He just roosted the shit out of me for 30 minutes.
Is that when it's kind of like he does, you know, pass the guy in front of you, just stay behind the same guy the whole time?
Nope. It's when, like, so if there's someone in front of you and they, like, get on the throttle real hard and the dirt flies up and hits you in the head, that's roost.
Oh, okay.
Like a rooster that. Tail, almost.
I see. That's never happened to me, but I get the premise of that. I would probably roost people in motocross if I ever were to participate in a race.
Well, you'd have to be in front of somebody to do that.
Well, I can tell you I'll be in front of the person that's behind me.
All right. So, like I just said, we both just watched the motocross. Round one for Prescott, Arizona, I think. Maybe. I didn't take notes, but I'm hoping you can tell the listeners what went down.
I can absolutely do that. First off, I'm going to say that I thought it was Eurocross.
Nope.
And then when they said it was in Arizona, I was like, it is not indeed Eurocross. And then they said Endurocross later in the race. So it's not Eurocross, guys. It's Endurocross.
Oh, shit. I thought it was Euro.
Yeah, that would have been really cool, but it wasn't. So first thing I got here, the race seems wildly dangerous. There was logs. There was a water pit, which I'm going to go ahead and assume, much like the other races with water near them, has monsters in them. That'd be pretty cool if they put like an octopus in there that occasionally grabs a rider and knocks him off his bike. And then there was rocks as well. And a couple of cars that they had to go over at one point, which was pretty cool. And then I got here, Honesburg was a local to the track, so I don't think that was fair, except in the end he ended up losing and not winning at all.
Hold on. The local thing doesn't matter because these tracks are just man-made like a couple of days before the event. So it's not like he goes out there every weekend and rides. He's just probably from the area.
Well, he's got a home field advantage.
How?
So all the kids from his local high school can cheer him on.
Oh, the marching band was there.
Yeah, probably. You see the stadium? It was intact.
All right.
And then at one point, there was this track has bred mistakes. Does that mean that it like physically breeds mistakes, or that there is bread on that creates mistakes?
No,
like a loaf of bread.
It breeds mistakes.
Okay. All right. I just want to know that. Back to the cars. They're called a no joke lane. That means no jokes allowed to be made there. Or it can't be funny, or what does that exactly mean for riders?
So you'll see in 2 weeks, because I'm going to have you cover what's called the Monster Cup. It's like a one-off race. But they have the Joker Lane, which someone has to do once. It's usually longer. So each rider has to do it at least once, so it kind of pulls in a strategy for when they should do it. So the no-joke lane, it's called a no-joke because it's harder than the other obstacles. And every rider has to do it at least once. So it's like kind of strategy if you want to save that for the last lap or you want to get it away with, you know, early on kind of thing.
Okay, I get that. That's good. And then the announcers were just going hard for Hanker and Webb.
Yeah, those
it
are the
seems
two guys.
That they, too, those are clearly the best two guys.
Yeah, they are.
With a third guy in there that kind of got third. And it seems like they have a battle. Again, I've said it before, as old as time. They've been rivals. They both were grown up in Northern California.
Yep.
They came out of two different wombs at the exact same time. That's a fun fact. I don't know if you knew that. And they've constantly competed throughout their life. So it's a pretty interesting facet about this race.
And last year, they like got into it a lot on the track. Like Haker, like they're riding. I don't say dirty, but they're riding aggressive towards each other, and like they're taking each other down a couple times. So it's they're not buddies; they're rivals. They don't like each other.
So. Well, fun fact: at the end of the race, they shook hands. That's my last note. They shook hands, and I think that's good sportsmanship.
It's a sportsmanship thing. But Webb ain't calling Haker up for a beer that night to hang out and watch football.
Why not? Seems like they're both a little aggressive towards each other. They should probably nut up and just hang out.
They just don't like each other, man. They're fierce competitors, and last year they were, taking each other down a couple times. It's, fierce rivalry. It's like Bill Belichick is in a call, probably the best coach in NFL, Adam Gase, right now, up to go get a beer before their big game this Sunday.
Well, yeah, that would make sense because it's going to be at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so they don't want to drink too early before the game. But after the game, I don't see why Gase and Belichick can't sit down, have a couple brews with the bros in Boston or wherever it's at.
I think it's in New England. Yeah, I mean,
it's in New England. I don't know where the stadium is.
Maybe it's different now, but maybe not during the season, but hey, maybe
end of the last race, say I might have a beer together. I think it's in Vegas, so you know, might as well. Right, commit.
I do have a few friends going.
You gotta say what? Yeah. Say it again, dude. Hey, listen. Say what? Say the whole thing again because it didn't come through.
What do you mean?
It didn't. You weren't talking. It wasn't showing up on the microphone.
Oh, okay. I'll be at the Super Bowl in Vegas. Fun fact.
Dolphins Eagles.
Additionally, Dolphins Eagles probably. I would bet safely on that. I guess. That happened. But then also, we have a few friends in the team in New England, and that's Zachary Brehan and Brandon Kirsch, all good, close, personal friends of ours. So that'll be a good, interesting game for them to be at.
Yeah, it broke up, so I'm just going to pretend that you said that you love the Dolphins. So
I didn't say that at all.
All right,
so then... So in the past few years on the race I've got here, Webb has won 3 wins versus Hankers 1.
Hanker.
And then
Hanker.
Additionally, Hankers 1.
And I think it's titles, not wins. Titles, probably. Championships.
Whatever they are. And then Webb also wins tonight. Spoiler alert, if you were trying to zoom through the podcast, Webb wins again tonight. So that makes it 4-1 in the past 5 years. Everyone got stuck in these rocks. What? Yeah, it does.
Championships, not race wins. That's like saying the Eagles won third. Like, no, it's championships. So this race is that was the first race. There's already been a round two, so they probably
The championships. They're 4-1.
Championship. This was just a race. There's a couple races in the championship. It's like there's a couple football games in the NFL season.
We'll have to double check on that, but that's all right. Let's see. Everyone got stuck in the stupid rocks. It seems a little dangerous, not safe. A lot of people fell in the rocks, and a lot of people fell in the logs.
A lot of people just fell everywhere.
Yes, Hanker got fucked in the rocks, actually, at one point. He was just very stuck, which is what caused Webb, and I have it, holy fuck, Webb retakes the lead at a whopping 1 mile per hour in the rocks, which is something.
Yeah. These
Which
races,
is something neat, I thought.
These races sometimes are most time aren't about speed. You know, it's about how efficiently they get through the obstacles, more so than hauling ass. You know.
I guess you got to play a little strategy in this game here. These riders are clearly more athletic and harder than the regular rappers.
Oh, bold! Very bold there.
That is a hot take here. And because they have a hell of a lot more stuff to go through. Granted, the race isn't long, but I think it takes a lot more endurance for these guys to go over cars, rocks, sea monsters in water.
Those bikes are 200-plus pounds, too. You know, I'm sure you saw. They're physically lifting those bikes over some of that shit.
I just thought the guys were all kind of weak when they had to have the trackies come out and help them.
Yeah, a bunch of pussies.
But I guess that also, pretty much. That also makes sense. But then I've got here, interesting side note, Kristen Beat sounds pretty attractive from the side of the race. They never showed her, but they did play her voice from the side of the race.
I think any girl that talks about dirt bikes is going to sound pretty damn good.
All right, fair enough. I guess that makes sense. Kind of question here. Are there any professional riders named Kurt?
In what? Named Kurt?
Yes.
I'm trying to think current. Kurt Nickel? Yeah, I think he was an old pro a couple years ago, enduro cross, and he did like a lot of off-road stuff. There was a guy, Kurt Caselli, really, really popular guy, one of my favorite riders. He died a couple years ago in Baja. He hit a cow, I think, or it was a booby trap. I don't think it ever really got... proved what it was. It was either hit a cattle or they like set up a booby trap. Kurt Caselli, he died a couple years ago, but he was probably the best Kurt to ride.
Interesting. All right. I got that in here now. I've taken that down. Mm-hmm. I've got here in the notes, last year, Hanker suffered an elbow injury. Was that, do you think, because he jerks off too much?
Probably.
All right. We're going to have have him on the show, and we're gonna confront him about the elbow injury, if it's actually from dropping or from jerking off too much. These are things I need to know.
Real quick, you want to hear something interesting?
Yep.
You know how you like talk about
absolutely, Kurt.
How it's kind of dangerous to use endurocross stuff.
Yes.
So a couple years ago, when endurocross started really getting real popular, they had during the intermission, they'd have a couple fans come down. They give them handlebars, right? And they'd have to pretend like they're riding a bike, but they'd run the whole course. But so many guys were eating shit and having to get stitches and stuff, or falling on the rocks. They had to take it out. Isn't that fucking hilarious?
Yes, that seems like some people aren't fit for this. Obviously, I could do endurocross pretty easily
They were running. They weren't on a bike. They were running, physically running.
Oh, they're running.
But they're just going as fast as they could because they want to win. So they were tripping over logs and hitting rocks and cutting themselves all up.
It earlier. This race isn't about speed. It's about fucking strategy.
Exactly.
They didn't get that. Now I know that. And when I do this, I'll obviously get first place, probably.
Hell yeah.
And then I've got also here, again, a lot of the riders don't even finish the race. A, B, only three guys didn't get lapped. So the first, second, and third guy, the only three guys that didn't get lapped. The last race, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It seems a little ridiculous. A, B, again, are they getting paid to not do that well?
No, dude. It's Haker and Webb are just another level. They're so good at this shit, bro. Guy got third. Hayes, I think he's hurt now. I got hurt in the second round. He's first or second year doing this. He's a fucking excellent rider. But Webb and Haker are just on another level. It's just they're that much better than everybody else.
It'd be like essentially me being the king of fun and no one being as near to me at having as much fun as I do.
Sure.
It must be like really good at having fun, or he pays everyone else to not to have as much fun as him. So that makes sense.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
I get
exactly.
That now. That's been on my mind the past every episode that I've done this for. That makes sense. All right, I'm glad I cleared that up. Mm-hmm. Last question here. Is the race timed, or is it like laps like in the regular Moto Brops thing?
I think it's 14 laps, but yeah, on the broadcast, they didn't show the lap counter. But I believe it's, which is stupid.
Yeah, there was just a timer
shit.
Going down.
Was there a timer? I didn't even see a timer.
There was a timer over the the whole start finish line thing, I think, and there was just a timer going down until it ran out of time. Essentially,
oh, okay.
I think
so maybe it is timing.
That's a little weird. It's an interesting way to play, but that seems interesting.
Yeah, maybe it is timing, but they didn't have it on the score. You know, like the score is running on the top. They didn't have laps or time on there, right? Just over the finish line.
No, they just had negative laps is all I saw. There was no time.
Yeah,
only
the
people that didn't get lapped had times, which is weird.
But they didn't tell
us. I need to know what place.
They never told us how much time was in the actual race or how many laps there was. They never. You might have tried, like you said, that you saw it over the start finish line, but I don't remember them telling us how long it was, and they definitely didn't show it on the graphic.
Correct. That is a little odd. But then in the end, with this race, our good buddy Webb here wins.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the joke lane and does a burnout, which is another big slap in the face to Hanker. And then at the end, I already said it, they did shake hands to show good sportsmanship, which is in turn good for the sport itself and shows that respectable gentlemen play this game.
Exactly. It's not a game. They don't play the game. They ride this event. That sounds lame as fuck, too. They ride fucking endurocross. How about that?
That's absolutely. They play the game of endurocross.
All right. Is that it for your endurocross review?
That is it for my endurocross first review. Definitely something I can get into because it is a hell of a lot shorter than the other races, and my attention span is not that great.
You'll like Supercross because Supercross is 20 minutes instead of the 30 minutes.
Is it action packed? Is there a lot of action going on?
Yeah, it's
tighter.
It's in a stadium. Like in Lincoln Financial.
Oh, sick!
It's actually they don't go to Philly, but they do MetLife this year and
they did Raymond James last year. I know that
they did Raymond James last year. Yeah, so shit like that. So moving on. If anyone saw our Instagram, I posted asking me some questions, and we got quite a few for you. So. And
we also posted on Twitter. I haven't seen all the questions. I only gave Kurt the DMs that I got. For whatever reason, people think they're oddly personal questions on the thread that we had, but DMing them is completely okay, I guess. I'm not going to say who asked what questions because that would
all anonymous. Not we're doing be all fair. Anonymous here because we don't call anyone out. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So,
wait, so what's this segment called? It's got to have a name.
Kaminsky's question? No, that's fucking lame. Should we let the listeners decide?
Yeah, we're going to post something on Twitter. You guys have to vote.
We'll
this time people actually have to vote, though.
We'll do a poll.
A poll, yeah. We're going to come four names after this, and then one guest submission.
All right, so are you ready?
And the winner who posts the guest submission is going to get a free Xbox Live Gold membership for a year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Courtesy of Whiskey Throttle Radio.
I'm sure they'll love that. All right, are you ready? Are we going? Let's try to make these not short, not like super quick answers, but don't take fucking hour, all right, man?
I'm not going to take an hour, Kurt. I got shit to do in the morning. I got to take a rest and go to bed.
When and how did you lose your virginity?
I was 18.
Nerd.
My freshman year of college. I know a lot of people are surprised that I lost it in college, which is a big shocker.
No one's surprised. But, you know, Kaminsky, no one would be surprised. Come on.
It's what, you know, quality of me. I was 18, freshman in college. It was actually I had worked at Polo Ralph Lauren at the time, and it was to a coworker that I worked with, obviously being a coworker. And it wasn't until after we had done the dirty that she told me that she had a boyfriend on the East Coast. So being the good gentleman and scholar that I am, I immediately ended things there and got shit for it from her at work for quite a while. And then she told me she was pregnant at one point. It turned out that she wasn't, but that actually happened. That is all truthful, right hand to God.
What's her name?
I'm not going to say her name.
Yeah, I'm sure she's an avid listener. All right. So if you saw...
Well, she knows who she is, even if she were a listener.
That's true. So if you saw my Instagram picture, you saw Kaminsky climbing a light pole in Philly, drinking a beer. True story, that was actually Kaminsky.
Hell yeah.
How did you react to Super Bowl?
Exact reaction.
Huge Eagles fan. How did you react to Eagles winning Super Bowl? It's probably a better question, but go ahead.
So I was in Philly, obviously, for the Super Bowl, and as soon as they had won, I stuck around the bar that I was in. Fun fact about the bar: they ran out of Bud Light, Mick Ultra, Miller Lite, and we ended up drinking. Oh, they ran out of Coors Light too, and we ended up drinking Miller High Life for the last quarter of the game, because that was the only beer in cans that they had left. But after the game, stuck around. I was absolutely annihilated for it and completely in disarray. I had actually called the place I was working at the time, told them I'd be out another 2 days in Philly and that the Eagles won because it was a Boston bar. But that's what I did. Then from where I was, I ran down the street like 20 blocks to Center City and had ended up climbing a light pole. And I was up there for about 30 minutes before I decided to get down, and I had quite a few beers up there.
Did you
absolutely,
cry?
Absolutely. Best experience of my life. I did cry. I cried right away when the Eagles won. Pure tears of joy and happiness and disbelief.
So this is super lame. Super lame right now. But the Dolphins have been playing some good ball these last three games, and I was at a bar here in Charlotte, and there was quite a few Dolphins fans there. And when they beat the Raiders, I was so pumped. And I was thinking, you know, because I think I might have made fun of you a little bit when the Eagles won and you cried, like, because I heard that story. So I was like, oh, what a, you know, yeah, little pussy. But I was thinking, like, I think if the Dolphins win a playoff game, I'll cry. Like, I don't know. It feels good when your team wins. It feels good.
Unlike anything else. You absolutely get it's an experience that you can never have. You can have it again, obviously. But that first time being alive for the Super Bowl, seeing it at, you know, the young, tender age of 23 years old, It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the only teams that I really like.
It's orgasmic almost.
Yeah. I mean, like the Marlins won in 03, but I didn't give a fuck about baseball when I was 10 years old. I really didn't. And then, the first time the Heat won in 06 was pretty cool. But, you know, even the times with LeBron when they won, like, I kind of knew they were going to win because they had LeBron. So, and I'm not a big NBA guy. But I think, you know, if the Dolphins won the Super Bowl, man, I'd cry. For sure, dude. Like, that's your team, man. It makes me so happy to see them playing good ball, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on before I, you know, get a little teary-eyed about my Dolphins. But most beers in one day.
The most beers I had in one day, this is as close to accurate as I can have. It was at a Dager, or Darty, as some people in the North call it, which is weird. That's Dager is Day Rager. Darty is Day Party. Yeah, Dager. It was at a Dager in the town, obviously, and I had about 28 beers, I think, was my final count. That was Dager morning before. There were some mimosas, but there was morning before Dager. At Dager, I didn't take a nap. I ended up continuously drinking and then drinking into the night. The second time that I had almost that much beer was at a keg race, and I later that night got thrown out of a bar for threatening to slaughter someone and his entire family. Not my proudest moment. Have since then apologized to that kid, and we're okay.
That's aggressive, bro. You all right?
Well, you know, yeah, I'm all good on the inside.
All right, this so what was the final number on the beer? I didn't get it. I mean, that was probably what
it was, like 28. It was, I think, the closest count that I had to that.
That's pretty good.
Based off of little tack marks. But that was a whole day, and I obviously blacked out at the end of the night. And that's where the count goes inaccurate.
Hey, Mako just walked into my janky podcast studio and wanted me to tell you he misses you.
I miss Jamaico. I miss you very much. You listen a lot. Broly does, but I have taught Broly how to give me his paw, so that's some exciting news in my life.
Broly is just as bad as Buckets is, so we won't talk about them. I'm just kidding. I love you, Broly, and I love you, Buckets. This next question is pretty fucking lame, but I'll ask it anyway. Craziest New Year's Eve? Alcohol poisoning
Pardon?
In Philly? Craziest New Year's Eve?
Oh, shit. I think I know who asked this question. Not going to say it, but it was actually this past New Year's Eve. It was my cousin's wedding, and it was in New Jersey. And I had admittedly had a mix of a little bit of Adderall or Focalin XR is what I take, and a mix of wine, champagne, liquor, beer, and Long Island iced teas. And I ended up blacking out just around midnight, and my parents were really mad at me the next day. And my dad had said that, or my mom might have said that I looked like a crackhead or a meth head.
That's normal.
Towards the end of the night. Because it was just, you know, that dead look in your eyes, the old Kaminsky cross eyes, one eye's up, one eye down type thing. The hair's a little crazy.
When you get those cross eyes, you know something's going down.
Yeah, when Kaminsky's eyes go in two different directions, that's when you know it. All gone to shit, and that was that. And then the New Year's Eve prior was also pretty crazy. I was with our good friend Steve Pavlenik in Fort Lauderdale.
We were there,
and I had blacked out twice that evening. Yes, you were there. I had blacked out twice that evening.
I was, for some reason, you know, I'm super bored in Charlotte. I don't know anyone. So if any listeners that are, you know, age like 20 to 25, blonde, southern accent, 5'4 to 5'7. Yeah, I'm like super lonely up here, and I was looking through my Instagram, and it was New Year's Eve 2 years ago, and you're like halfway in the picture, and your eyes are cross-eyed as fuck.
Oh God, yeah, I remember that picture specifically. Yes, I blacked out twice that night, once before the ball dropped, and then I came through as people were counting down. That freaked me out, and I was like, "What the fuck's going on?" Then I realized it was New Year's Eve, and then blacked out around 1:30 in the morning, and woke up in a bed in a house that happened to be Steve's, and was very confused.
Yep. Well, sounds like a normal night for you. Moving on. This is another listener question. What would you be doing if Hillary Clinton was president?
To be honest, probably not much different. I don't want to pretend to be a political analyst. journalists or like a political snowflake and say that, you know, oh God, if Hillary Clinton won president, I'm going to move out of the country and then back out of that bet, like so many have done. I think I'd be right where I am right now, probably, because politics as a whole don't generally affect the lowly American. So, yeah. And plus, the Illuminati controls everything, so yeah. It doesn't matter to me, pretty much. Exactly. If they want me somewhere, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree. You know, Illuminati, you know, everything you say, like, it probably wouldn't be anything different. So this one is do you sit or stand when you shit? But I'm going to actually, you know, twist it up a little bit. Do you sit or stand when you wipe? I think is a better question.
All right, I'm going to answer both. First off, who the fuck stands when they shit?
Yeah,
because
that's why I didn't even want to ask that one. That one was like, whatever.
And then oddly enough, this is so weird. I was in the car with a couple of our buddies tonight, and the topic of do you sit or stand when you wipe had come up, and we got into an argument about it. I've come to the conclusion that what I do is, I guess, technically I crouch.
Oh, my.
As to where, you know, I'm...
You're a psychopath.
Yeah, both. Once I've done the shit and I'm wiping at this point, I am on both legs, obviously, and both sides are off the toilet, and that is, you know, I wipe in the back. Some people wipe in the front as guys, which is really weird. I've heard that before. But I wipe...
Back to balls.
What do you mean?
Like...
Yeah, I mean, I can go, I wipe behind, but some people wipe in front, like they go under their crotch and groin. But yeah, I go behind whilst crouching. You know, as in both legs are off the toilet, so I don't touch anything, which would be gross.
What?
And then I go up, I guess, what do you mean? That's normal.
No.
I don't, like, I'm not, like hunched over or crouched. I'm just, like, both legs are just lifted off the toilet seat very, very little, and then I wipe.
You go around the back?
Yeah, I don't go under.
Huh. All right. Well, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, that's how I poop.
All right. Well.
Fun fact, girls don't poop. I know that.
Obviously. So if Kaminsky, you know, kills a bunch of people in a mass murder, you know why. Because he stands when he wipes. So that was graphic. I'm going to have to cut that one out. I probably won't.
No, that was a good one. You don't touch that one.
Okay, what do you actually do for Pavinec Investments?
I do a lot of the front of house business that goes down. Pavinec Investments LLC, the third, by the way, is a pretty much essentially it's an investment group. However, it's mostly a property management group itself. I take care of 16 properties, including my own that I live at. I deal with the tenants on a day-to-day basis. I help construct the leases. I take care of tenant requests. I deal with some of the finances that go on with it. I do
really
general maintenance.
Anyone actually cares. But continue.
Well, someone asked a question, so they care. I do, you know, deal with the general maintenance and handyman work that I can, you know, with my knowledge, do. I make sure the properties are taken care of. Any problems with tenants, you know, if there's delinquent rents and stuff like that, I make sure I message the tenants or show up to their house with a bat or something like that. Essentially, you know, I just do a front of house business, and Steve does more of the finances that go on with Pavinec Investments. So for people that think this is a fake job, it is indeed not. I do get paid on a weekly basis.
We talked about this one a little earlier. Funniest drunk story. So, I mean, there's about 100 million of them with you, Kaminsky. So, I mean, how many days in your 365? So, let's go 900 in the past 3 years I've known you. I haven't known you longer than that. But I want to hear the running down 75 middle of the night story.
Ah, shit. All right. So this is my second year in college. It's a crisp winter's eve, January 21st, I believe is the exact date. And our good buddies, Zachary Brian and Justin Bomarito, had a house that was the exit just north of the college's exit. And we had been drinking there that night, playing poker, and we had a few friends over. And we got talking, you know, what would you do for $50? I, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'd, you know, jump this high or drink that beer that fast or something like that, $50. And then someone's like, how far would you run $50? I was like, oh, I could definitely run to like Westlake from here. Easy peasy. And then a kid that was there tried my pride. And if you know me, Kurt, and I think you do, I don't generally back down from a challenge. I was like, you won't fucking do it. And I was like, all right, $50, don't do it. And then everyone's like, hey, I'll throw this $10, $5 in the pot and whatever. And as I was settled, I just took off out the door barefoot in like khaki shorts and a hoodie, barefoot all the way, ran out the neighborhood. I actually had a rental minivan at the time that people had gotten and started driving up and down 75 to make sure I was alive. I stopped at one bathroom to take a shit, and then I crouched because it was a gross bathroom, crouched and wiped in the back like a normal person.
Of course you crouch because you stand when you shit. So
I don't stand when I shit. I crouched just barely over the toilet seat to wipe. That is a normal thing. People will do that.
You stop at the rest stop between Daniels and Alika?
No, I stopped at just a simple Marathon gas station by the Waffle House off of Daniels.
Okay, yeah.
And then from there, I continued. Yeah, I continued on 75 ramp, and then I ran in pretty much the drainage ditch, the whole way to the next exit down, which was 3 miles or 131. Well, yeah, 3 miles. Then I got off on the off ramp. Obviously, I didn't want to cross the highway. That seemed even for me a little dangerous. Ran under 75, ran by a couple of restaurants, the Bass Pro, the hotel right by there. And then I ran to Westlake, and I was trending on Twitter that night, hashtag pray for Kaminsky, a big highlight of mine. My good friend Zach Brehan was there the whole way driving up and down with me. Harry Yaji was there and a few other people.
Okay.
After that, for 2 days, I essentially couldn't walk, on my feet because they were so cut up.
You know, you mentioned, you know, Zach and Harry were there with you. I was going to say, no one thought to stop on 75, but I guess if they're there with you, so that makes sense.
I was not backing out from the challenge.
I was saying no one driving on 75 saw you running on the side of it and decided.
I mean, I was kind of in the drainage ditch, so I guess you couldn't see me, and I had a darker hoodie, but apparently it's illegal to run down 75 like that. So I'm thankful that a cop didn't pull me over.
Yeah, that would have been bad, huh?
On foot.
That probably been
yeah, that would have been awful.
So I kind of controlled that one. Do you have another funny drunk story you want to tell? I mean, we got time.
I have quite a few funny drunk stories.
Want to wait till the next? I mean, you're going to be on here in 2 weeks. So wait till then.
Yeah, I will tell you real quick, the last time I went on a spring break vacation last year, it might have been last year, myself and our friend Frankie Littlejohn had gotten our hair braided in Mexico with tin foil and some beads. It was a pretty funny drunk story, and I had those beads in my hair for like 3 weeks.
All right, you want to, you know, leave the listeners on a cliffhanger there and talk about it next week?
That was pretty much it. We were drunk and we got
beads
in our hair.
All right, well, I mean, that's real cute that you and your buddy got your hair done together. Favorite TV quote?
Yeah. All right, I say this one a lot, and I mean it. This is from Batman. I believe Two-Face said this. Also Harvey Dent. You either live the hero. I fucked it up.
You either die
the hero.
Yeah, okay.
No, shut up. You either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I've added a little extra to that quote, and then I usually say, and I'm not dead yet. So it's alluding to the fact that I am indeed the villain.
Wasn't that on your Twitter handle or something?
Was that your
senior quote?
I don't think I had a senior quote. I was not that fun in high school. My fun reign started in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can all tell that. Guilty pleasure?
I like listening to Lana Del Rey and Halsey.
Yeah. They're
fun
hot.
Fact,
they're
lost
both
my virginity
hot,
with that girl from Polo to Lana Del Rey's music.
They're both super hot, and they don't sound half bad on the radio or speaker or whatever. Do you think they make out with each other?
I don't know. I think they're both bisexual. I'm 100% sure Halsey is based off her music. I bet you Lana Del Rey would probably do that, though, too.
I mean, she used to date Marilyn Manson, who sucked his own dick.
Well, you know, people go through phases. of people they date. So yeah, that obviously is one of hers.
I had a gothic face, so yeah, I have eyeliner and stuff. So don't we all?
That's weird.
Don't we all, right?
Nope, that's a few select weird people.
How many genders are there?
That's an obvious, easy fucking question. There's two genders, either a guy or a girl, and then sometimes there's a third gender as a gender-neutral lamppost. But there is two genders. You have a penis, you're a guy. You have a vagina, you're a girl. You can't have both.
What if you're like transitioning?
Then you go from a guy to a girl, but
what if you're in the middle? Your peen is like halfway cut off and your tits are starting to grow?
I don't think that's how it works, Kurt. There's like a surgery that happens over like a couple hours they do that.
I don't think so. I think it's like a gradual.
There's no in between. You're a guy or a girl, plain and simple. That is, there's males and females. There's no X.
Oh, this leads us perfectly into our next question. Again, these are, you know, we have no political views. We love everyone on Whiskey Throwing Radio. These are all listener questions. Should men be allowed to be in women's bathrooms?
No, it's ridiculous.
Okay. That's a big thing up here in North Carolina, I think.
That's creepy.
Right? Is that North Carolina?
It's weird.
Rule number 5?
I don't know. Target allows gender-choosing people to go pee in whatever fucking bathroom they want. But if I have a son and he's peeing in the bathroom and then some weird he-she walks in that's confused about their gender,
you just said there's two genders. So if it's a he/she and he has a penis, he's allowed in the bathroom.
I get that. Yeah, but he's weird. Stay out of the bathroom.
Weird people aren't allowed to go to any
bathroom. Order with like Uber Eats. Don't go to Target.
I get it though. Like if I had a daughter, and like a dude who was like, I want to be a chick, walked in, I'd be kind of weirded out. Okay, moving on. Why are the Eagles like kind of not good this year?
What do you mean they're kind of not good?
Dude,
they're doing fine.
Bro, they could easily be 0-3 right now.
But they're not.
But, okay.
Our defense in the red zone is probably number one and absolutely unstoppable.
Okay,
for the most part, unless there's blown coverage or something, that's when, you know, it looks a little shitty. And in the Bucs game, we played a terrible first half. We had a bad first half. It was...
I'm just saying, though, because
a touchdown.
That's right. You lost the Bucs. That's what I meant to say. But you could have easily won week one to the Falcons team, who is kind of not that good. Matt Ryan's not.
We always, historically and statistically, Julio Jones always eats. I mean, he eats every team that he plays a lot.
You look like shit.
But he always
the Colts,
eats the Eagles
too. You
a lot.
Barely beat
and
the Colts.
We beat the Falcons like the past five times we beat them.
You barely
that
beat
was
the Colts.
Carson Wentz's first week back. He's back. It's his first game in 287 days from his torn ACL. And he's come back faster, I'm pretty sure, in the history than anyone else has ever come back from an ACL injury. Fun fact, 2 weeks after a collarbone break, and there's still stitches in my shoulder when I went back to playing flag football.
Okay.
So,
it was just
Carson Wentz, first week back. He's getting comfortable. We don't have our best receivers right now. Wallace is out now, and Alshon Jeffery's coming back this week.
What do you think about Dolphins?
Dolphins are looking fucking good. This year, they're my AFC team. I've gone to quite a few Dolphins games living in Florida.
Okay, so you went.
They look good.
You were the first game. I know I got ran out. You're going to see the end of it, but watching them on TV, don't they look like they're just having fun and they want to be out there playing football? You know, like taking pills.
They look like the Eagles. In all honesty, they look like the Eagles did last year. They're all out there having a good time. Well, no, the Eagles are having a great time. They were having a good time out there. They're playing just some good old fashioned football. No one's bitching about. So much, and they're just out there to have fun and play the sport they love. These guys are dedicated to the sport. They're not in it just for.
Yeah. All right. Well, two more questions. So, what is the problem with the youth in America today?
They are softer than baby shit. That is the problem.
It's not Fortnite.
They are all raised.
Fortnite.
No, they're all raised that they can all get a trophy and all have, you know, just as much credit. And get the same amount of fun that everyone else has, even though they suck at sports. That's the problem. When I was a kid, there wasn't participation. Everyone got like a little fucking hoop-de-doop trophy, but they gave out, you know, the best receiver trophy, the most yards trophy, the most valuable player trophy, the Golden Glove trophy in Little League. But the kids these days are soft as
the
shit.
The best podcast trophy.
Them to be fucking babies.
The best what? Podcast trophy.
That would be a competitive thing. I would give that probably to either myself, Sports Gambling Degenerates, hosted by our good friends Matt Bacardi and Robert Galler, or maybe Pardon My Take might take the cake on that one.
Well, I want a trophy, and I think I deserve one because I put in 8% effort into this, so I deserve one. And it's not fair that
you're the best and you have the best listeners, which obviously I think we do. We have the people. Not everyone's going to fucking win. In life, not everyone's wins. Look, Hillary Clinton didn't win. Where's her participation trophy? Who gives a shit?
She probably didn't want one.
Nah, she definitely wanted one.
Okay. This
one
is
of the fucking recount.
The last question. It's a big one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who pissed the bed?
Oh, I am so glad this question got answered.
Got asked.
What?
It got asked. It hasn't been answered yet, but that's what you're here for.
I for the sake of going to piss the bed, I will not say who pissed the bed, although I think some people know who might have pissed the bed. I will say whose bed got pissed in for and that is Nathaniel Clark's bed at Orlando Road, just down the street from Shattuck. His bed got pissed in by someone that he didn't go home from. His bed got pissed in. That is a fact. I had an interview with his roommate on Snapchat, as well as his sheets, and they smelled mighty suspiciously like piss, and there was two types of beer there. And you know what beer makes you do? It makes you go pee.
Hey, speaking of Orlando House, who knew Harry was a fucking brawler?
I lived with Harry for 2 years. And Harry is a little argumentative, doesn't back down from the challenge, which I respect for the most part. But I don't know if I'd say he's a brawler so much as just an aggressive person. Mm-hmm. He did get sucker punched this past weekend at Rusty's, oddly enough, the sandbar that I got thrown out of for threatening someone.
Well, yeah.
But he got sucker punched, and the story as it goes, this is from the horse's mouth. Harry was upset that a boy wasn't tipping on
a boy.
Wasn't tipping on his bill to the bartenders. He's like, why the fuck are you gonna tip, bro? And the kid that said that he's got 150 on his belt, 160 on his shirt. What are you gonna do about it? So Harry shoved him because he wasn't tipping. Which I agree with. I don't agree with the fact that he should have shoved him. He probably should have just been like, whatever, dude, you suck. And then his boy sucker punched Harry. So that's the story of that. That's how it went. Harry is a little fighter. Got a little rocky in him or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's cool to see, but for the reasoning of sticking up for, you know, not tipping your bartenders, which is like the number one rule, Kaminsky, we all know this. You got to tip your bartenders. So, you know, props
absolutely.
To,
take
props
care
to
of the
Harry. Harry pretty much has lived at Rusty's for the past 7 years. So, you know, props to him for sticking up for his bartenders.
Absolutely. I respect that.
All right, Kaminsky, before we let you go, you mentioned earlier, but big shout everyone go listen to this podcast. Our buddies just started it. If you like sports, you like gambling, you like drinking, you like being a degenerate, just fucking go listen to it. Sports Gambling Degenerates by Matt Bacardi and Robert Galler. We were trying to get them on tonight, but they went to the Rays-Yankees game. So maybe 2 weeks we'll get them on. I really want to get them on. You know, talk some bullshit, kind of shoot shit.
That game end? Who won?
It was 10:38. It's 10:38. Should we call them now?
Go ahead, give them a call. See if they answer.
All right, hold on. Shit. Who do you think I have a better chance of getting, Galler or Matt? Probably Galler.
I'd flip a corner on this one. Probably Galler, yeah.
I'm going to go Galler. Hold on. This is great radio, by the way. But yeah, so Sports Gambling Degenerates, get them on. Where is he in my phone? Oh, what's his first name, Robert?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I forget these things. Sports Gambling Degenerates.
It's on iTunes. Go ahead, give it a subscribe and a follow.
Can you hear that, Kaminsky? Can you hear the ring?
I can hear the ringing, yeah.
Well, they're not
going to... Does it say no caller ID?
Probably, but they're not going to be able to hear you either, so it's not really going to work, is it?
Oh, well, then hang up the phone. We'll do it later.
We'll do it in 2 weeks. But, yeah, that was Gallagher's ringtone, if you want to know. Sports Gambling Degenerates. Check them out on iTunes. We'll try to get them on in the next couple weeks. Pretty funny stuff, and they just upgraded to a new microphone. So they're fucking hitting it big, Kaminsky.
What's up?
Nothing. You weren't listening. It doesn't matter. All right. Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it. It was a good 50 minutes with you. That's like 43 more minutes than I wanted to spend talking to you. But it was good. Hello?
It was. I had a good start. I was taking a sip of my beer. But no, this was probably one of the funnier podcasts with the questions. Or Kaminsky Corners with the questions. They were pretty good, and we kept it a little alive. As always, I want to thank the people for their listenership and their constant motivation as to why I do this. I love you guys.
And we're probably gonna keep doing stupid shit like this until January when Supercross starts back up again. So we have a couple good months of, you know, trying to get some more guests on. You know, obviously for every episode we're going to talk moto, just like this one. We had James Burry on, owner of Risk Racing, on at the beginning of the show. But you know, we kind of want to have some fun, and obviously Kaminsky is talking moto though, so he's a big moto guy now, but we also want to talk about other stuff. So yeah, thanks, Mitz.
All right, thank you, Kurt. I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Later.
Thanks.
Well, I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays, all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump in to swim. Well, the light was dim and this life was sin. Now every day I wake up and breathe. I don't have it all, but that's alright with me. Take it nice and easy, took a flight to see me. Send you back home with a light that's beaming. The whole team about to figure it out. We ice cold, that's what winter about. And sometimes I wish I took a simpler route. Instead of having demons that's as big as my house, have a ball with a dribble and bounce. Cause the party ain't over till they kicking me out. Yeah, isn't it funny? We can make a lot of money, buy a lot of things just to feel a lot of ugly. I was yay high and muddy, looking for what was looking for me. But I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, they ask me what I'm smiling for. Well, because I never been this high before. It's like I never felt alive before. I'd rather have me peace of mind than war. You see me and you, we ain't that different. I struck the fuck out and then I came back swinging. Take my time to finish, mind my business. A life ain't a life till you live it. I was digging me a hole, big enough to bury my soul. Weight of the world, I gotta carry my own. With these arms, I can carry you home. I'm right here when you're scared and alone, and I ain't never in a hurry. You don't never gotta worry, even when it's 7:30 and the time is running low. When your heart get cold, see what's behind all them unturned stones. And I'm a pro when it come to my job, but really I'm just trying to start believing in God. Now when it gets hard, I don't panic, I don't sound the alarm. Because I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays, all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door.